Welcome to episode 92 of The Iron Agenda, the podcast about War Machine, wars, and whatever else is on our minds. Hey everybody, and welcome to The Iron Agenda, the podcast that raises its own Gatoroids. I'm Josh.
I'm Dave.
I'm Jason.
I'm Tim.
And I'm the other Jason, Jason Huber from Springfield, Illinois.
Well, I heard Jason.
Yeah, I'm Jason. Because I was having my hand on my face. And
what are Gatoroids?
Well, we'll just get into that, I guess. There's a Salty Dog Cinema this week.
Oh.
I'm sure everybody by this point has seen Mega Shark versus Giant Octopus.
Uh-huh.
Okay.
Last night, there was a new one on.
I missed it.
Don't spoil it for you, Dave.
My wife wiped our DVR before I could watch it.
Hmm. Oh, okay. Well, I'm sure you can find it because it's a hit.
Oh, yeah.
Now, I can't remember whether that was Tiffany or Debbie Gibson in that one.
Debbie Gibson.
Well, Tiffany apparently was in another one, but that I can't remember. But that's old news because they're both going to be in a movie together on Sci-Fi called Megapython versus Gatoroid.
Bam!
Last night they had Super Gator versus Dino Croc on.
Oh, maybe that was it. Maybe that's the one she was in.
I don't know.
Here, I was just hoping it was Gator Man Whelps.
Well, just to give you a little spoiler to titillate here, it features Gibson as a fanatical animal rights activist who frees illegally imported exotic snakes from pet stores and releases them into the Everglades, where they then morph into supersized menaces, while Tiffany will portray an overenthusiastic park ranger out to save endangered alligators.
And they're going to sing a super song together.
That sounds like one of your little...
They fight crime.
They fight
fish
crime.
In a barrel.
Nice. Oh, sounds like a Scooby-Doo special guest episode where they Could have to be. Make sure to sing at the end.
Sandy Duncan's right. also going to be in that
the
episode.
The Globetrotters are going to show up near the end, teach everybody the meaning of friendship.
Right.
Oh, Meadowlark Lemon.
What?
Meadowlark Lemon.
Used to be a player on the Globetrotters.
Oh, all I know is Curly. Curly Joe or whatever his name was.
That was a Three Stooge. Good job.
Yes,
it was a Three Stooges. Too, yeah.
Curly Joe.
Curly Joe was a Three Stooges as well.
Curly Joe
was also a Three Stooge.
Okay.
All right.
Regardless. Or irregardless.
All right, well, that's it for Salty Dog Cinema.
Not very good.
Sorry.
It's like a,
I told
it's
you
like
about
a,
mine.
It's like a pre-cinema.
Exactly. Okay, what were
it's
a
preview.
So.
There you go.
I saw a classic. I hadn't seen it in a couple of years on TV Friday night. Watching Fright Night. Classic. With Chris Sarandon as the bad vampire.
It'd be better if it was Susan Sarandon as the bad
She was also in a vampire movie.
Which one?
I don't remember the name of it.
Well, she was in a Rocky Horror Picture Show, so really she can't be worse than that.
She denies that,
worse?
Though.
It's a horrible movie.
It's an amazing movie. It's an
I don't amazing know. It can't be any worse than Once Bitten with Lauren Hutton and Jim Carrey. So.
Nice.
I vaguely remember that one, yeah.
Yeah, I watched that way too many times.
Isn't Courtney Cox in that movie, too? As his girlfriend?
Yes, she is.
So. There you go.
She was also in Masters of the Universe.
I knew you were going to go there. I knew it.
So what I was going to say before the podcast...
By the power of Grayskull.
...is that Tim is wearing an Autobots t-shirt, and the new Transformers game came out the other day, and it looks amazing, and Stu said he is addictively playing it.
So I've heard good things.
Yeah, like, it's old school. It's not like the movie at all.
Oh, right.
It's all in Cybertron, and, like, they all look... awesome, and it looks apparently it's really cool. There's two campaigns, an Autobot and a Decepticon campaign. And apparently, like, the first mission is like all about Megatron, like getting Starscream under his
control.
Essentially,
it apparently is like a class-based multiplayer too.
Yeah, and that too. Yeah,
so where you build your own Transformer.
Well, like base chassis.
Sort of. Yeah,
yeah.
But it sounds pretty cool. Yeah.
I can build Davicon,
Losercon.
He's a Decepticon.
Speaking of cons.
Oh, how do you like that?
Good segue.
Wow. Tim, you had something to say.
We had our first meeting for Privateer Weekend 4 for next year. We got a lot of good ideas. We got a good base of plan of attack. We're going to start putting stuff up probably in the next couple of weeks, I think.
Soapy wet t-shirt contest.
That's one of them, yeah.
It will be big.
We have some awesome prize ideas. And I even came up with another one this morning, Tim. I'll tell you about it later.
Cool.
Oh!
We're going to try to give War Machine Weekend a run for its money on these prizes.
Yes, we are.
Ooh.
Hear that, Clutch? It's a challenge.
I'll see what I can do. I don't know if I can quite double the 10 people I brought down this year, but I'll see what I can arrange.
Oh,
I got a second
that.
Shot, so
really nice,
we'll see if
really
I can
nice
talk
chunk.
To them.
Yeah, you guys really helped out in terms of our population this year.
That's very awesome.
Cool. Well, so, yeah, we haven't even... I mean, Jason's on the show. We haven't even...
Right. Well, everybody knows who he is.
Oh.
He's a law of thermodynamics.
Yeah. If you know one Jason, you know them all.
Well, he's
unfortunately.
So you're from Springfield, Illinois.
Mm-hmm. Yep. My name is Jason Huber. I'm the press ganger from Springfield, Illinois. I've been doing this for probably, I think, around 5 years now. I started playing just before Apotheosis and was kind of on the fence as to whether actually buying Apotheosis or not. It's like, well, I don't know if this is going to take off. And I regret not buying that book ever since, just because I missed out on all the wonderful artwork.
Oh, so, yeah.
You can find it still.
I know. I'm just lazy. So
I have Apotheosis.
Do you? Your own personal Apotheosis?
Actually, I have two. I have a regular copy, and then I have the special edition, still sealed.
I was about to ask if it was still in this wrap.
It is. It's pretty awesome. Why is that thumbs down, Tim?
I don't know. Should have I have two copies, both regular, and one is all beat up, and I've read it a lot.
Sounds like every single one of your books, you have one that's all beat up and one that is...
Kind of works out that way sometimes.
Not. So...
Speaking of cons...
Speaking of cons, again...
You've got a local one, do you not?
Yeah. We, in September, the weekend after Labor Day, we are going to do Icon, which is probably on toward... I don't know if it's 9 or 10 anymore. And we're ramping up our War Machine events. We're going to do a... basically a full weekend of events. We're kind of swiping the Adepticon, TempleCon model. We're going to do a team tournament, 25 points a player on Friday night. We're going to have a double coin event. We've got the Resurgence and Genesis coins that we're going to have to do kind of an old-style double faction coin event.
That's pretty cool.
Saturday night, we're going to do a 1-1-1-1. And then on Sunday, we're going to pull players, top placed players from over the weekend for a trophy tournament.
Oh, so, what kind of trophies? You have?
The Steamroll trophies.
So, oh, right, right. Yeah. Cool, cool.
So, first time we've actually ever done that. It's kind of a nice high point of the year as far as making it worth breaking out the trophies.
So, cool.
So what would people have to do? Or can you register now? Is it too early?
Registration just went up. I know you can find it through... mecha-anime.com. There's a link to the Icon page from there. I've also posted it out on GameStateLewis.com with the full slate of events and driving details and all that fun stuff on both sites.
So cool. Yeah, so Springfield, Illinois, it's pretty much pretty close to the center of it. And so if you're in one of the regions that is close to drive to it, I would suggest doing so. I'm going to do it.
And then you go and get a horseshoe.
Yeah.
Yeah, what is this horseshoe? I saw you guys mention it's food, but yeah.
If you like your colon, you don't want a horseshoe.
Yes. If you are a fan of both grease and cheese, basically you start off with a couple of pieces of toast on the bottom. You put in your choice of meat. It's traditionally hamburger, but anywhere from buffalo chicken to tenderloin to even fish, which does not sound appealing to me. Then you put a big fat handful of fries on top. And then you drench it in cheese sauce.
So there's no top to the burger?
There's no top to the burger.
It's an open-faced
pile of, oh my God.
Yes, it's pretty wonderful.
Where is this? What's the place? Is it called the Horseshoe? Or
no, it's kind of a Springfield invention that has radiated out here and there. I know when I was up at Macomb for school, they actually had one restaurant that served it up there. But
McDonald's does it now there.
I wouldn't be surprised if they tried it sometime. But pretty much... 95% of any pubs that you hit in Springfield, pub-style eateries, you can find it at.
So it's like the cool. Midwest Fluffer Nutter?
No.
No.
No one knows what that is.
Sure you do. It's what a sandwich with, I think it's peanut butter and marshmallow fluff.
Cream. Yeah, yeah.
That's gross.
I've seen that, though, before, not just in the Midwest.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah. That's
because it radiates out, much like the McHorseshoe.
The McHorseshoe.
Yes.
The Mc...
Horseshoe, whatever.
The McFluffer McNutter.
Ugh. McNutting everywhere.
McFluffer with cheese. So.
All right, well, hopefully we can send a group of people up there for that. That would be a good time.
I'm in.
It'd be great. I need to start trying to make some contacts in Chicago, too. Maybe we can make that a meeting place between St. Louis and Chicago.
So. Yeah.
Very cool. That'd be awesome.
And Dave puts on the sunglasses because he thinks his future's that bright.
He looks horrible.
He is wrong.
So, what's next?
Wow.
We have some new updates, some new stuff.
We have to tell Dave how much of an idiot he is on the air and how ugly he is.
If we don't degrade him, he will just get very high and mighty.
I'll get uppity. You got to keep me in my place.
He's like a rodent's teeth. You got to keep wearing it down because it just gets too big.
You're right. Continue.
All right. Well, we have the Score Annihilators that came out.
Yeah, I saw those a while back on the St. Louis forums and Tabletop Gaming News. Looks really neat as a Scorn player. I'm pretty excited to find out what they do. So.
And yeah, were there any hints in the fluff? I don't remember.
I don't think there was actually a fluff.
piece?
Piece for it. Oh, it really? Was just the box description, price, and a picture. That's the only picture in September releases that I saw when they posted it. So they basically look like a bunch of bare-shirted Scorn, or basically bare-chested Scorn.
They look like Scorn Doom Reavers.
Yeah, so that's very much what they look
as
like.
As a Scorn owner, what
I've
what
heard
do you think?
They believe in nothing, and they will cut off your Jansen.
Your what?
Lebowski.
Lebowski. <It's laughs> nice marmot.
It's a
they're going to get a marmot cowards. Weapon attachment.
Yeah.
They're not Alice Jason.
Obviously, you're not a golfer.
So as a Scorn owner, Tim, not player, but owner, how do you feel about these guys?
I want to see what they do first before I can say
consider
I'm going to
consider buying them.
Let's do
I've
this.
I've held off a lot of my Scorn. Well, I actually find out in August because I would bet they'll be in the Scorn book.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah.
You would bet. Possibly even at Gen Con, considering
their
tendency to put September
Ooh.
Releases out there.
This is true. So.
If they are Doom Reavers, what do you think they do for the Army?
That'd be awesome.
That'd be pretty good. And they're a 10-man unit, so that's a lot of guys to chew through.
Yeah, I believe that Scorn has a lot of really good like global buffs. Like, I mean, I'm not saying these guys can't be targeted by magic, but like for Doom Reavers, they really benefit from the global Cador buffs, but a lot of them are very specific, whereas Scorn, you have things like
Carnage.
Carnage mm-hmm. or just, you know, there's a
Road
bunch of
to
effects.
War.
Well, what do you mean by they could be like Doom Reavers? What does that mean?
I don't know what that means. I was just
AD
saying.
AD Weapon Master Berserk stuff.
It's a lot for you
basically
know.
Shirtless guys with reach weapons.
Yeah, the exact same
like
Doom Reavers
people.
Are.
I haven't seen the picture recently, but didn't they have like stuff in
their
skin?
They had like the flesh hooks
like
in them.
Mm-hmm. Oh, did they? Okay. Yep. I thought they had something in them like that.
That would be why they're berserking. They're crazy.
I'm not, you know, ow. What's funny is their heads don't look like any of the other Scorn models' heads.
Mm-hmm.
It's
is it a new sculptor,
weird.
Maybe?
Probably, but it just kind of.
Maybe they're hybrid heads. They breed.
Maybe they're half Scorn.
For a second, I was kind of wondering if one had a third eye because the piercing is all kind of on the front little nub and then it gets right down over his forehead.
And it is curved and has like an oval kind of opening in it. And the paint job, because they're so pale skinned, it looks like an iris in the middle of it.
I said also known as oval.
Oval?
The oval.
Oh, yes.
It's depending on where you are in the country.
No, actually, not at all.
I guess if you're sitting right there where you are, that's what it is, but elsewhere, not so much. All right, next we have the new Privateer Press tokens, the War Machine tokens that they showed. If you saw them, you probably won't see them again because they burned out your retinas with the colors. Yes.
They are very bright.
Yes. You won't lose them.
That's right, you won't.
I think they glow in the dark.
I was about to say, if you lose them, probably just turn out the lights and you should be able to find them again.
There you go.
So.
That's awesome.
If turn out the lights dark. And I glow.
All right.
You're on the pasty side, so that's entirely possible.
Hell yes.
So.
You look like a glowworm.
I wish they would have given us a sense of scale, you know, put a coin by it or something like that. I also wanted to see a picture of what it looks like when you actually ride on them, like that you're supposed to be able to.
Mm-hmm.
I'm curious because they're kind of dark, not really opaque, but they're kind of dark, and I'm wondering how easily.
Well, yeah, I ride on my Warthogs all the time, and they're pretty dark.
Oh, really?
Opaque. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I write like the initials of the, you know, like signs of importance are at SP.
Well, I'll probably wait till somebody else gets them, and then I'll see.
Yeah, when they said that you can ride on them, I expected it to be like kind of a white center.
That's what I thought.
The colored
well.
Ridge.
Yeah.
And
I like the ones that stand.
I like the ones that I made at home that will probably cost me less than $10 or $12.
I like the comment Julie made on the forums. If I have to write on the tokens anyway, I'm just gonna make my own.
That I can understand.
I buy them for.
They give you something like 40 of them, I think.
Yeah.
So it's not bad.
It does look like it's a little short for two caster games, or if you've got someone who has a bunch of souls and stuff.
Mm-hmm. Or people were also saying a Harbinger with a rack and a reclaimer or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
So.
But other than that, I mean, they're not unusable. I mean, they're going to be as usable as like Warthogs and Warclaws. I mean, I've talked about before, that's not my preference in token style, but they'll work.
In Mark 1, when I had all my tokens made up, I always brought Warthogs for my opponent. Because I like
I didn't care for the war claws, but I always liked the war cogs. The claws were a little too. I know they wanted something different to be, you know, beast oriented or whatever, but they were just. It was so
dumb.
Out there. It was
the
just like, what
for.
The hell is this supposed to be?
I've heard somebody make the mention. I was playing at the store. It's one thing about the size is you can actually cup them around the model, small base model.
It's true. True.
But other than that,
I always thought the pointy end was like pointing toward the model.
I've seen that too.
So when you lift it up, you'll hit the model.
Yes.
When it's cupped around it. Perfect.
You must be a big fumble fingers man if you're doing that with your models.
I am a fumble fingers man.
Okay, just checking.
He is a troll player.
I'm a troll player. I got big nub fingers. Don't they only have four fingers? Pretty sure.
Three fingers and a thumb. Actually.
A finger.
Know your anatomy.
I love the Cotter Jacks who have two fingers and a middle thumb.
Mm-hmm.
That's awesome.
Or the Warhog also has that.
Frankie Pig.
His giant sausage
fingers.
Really
his. Now is it, Jason?
Well, I'd say it is now.
No. So if you can take something, it's yours. Is that how it works?
Possession.
You
is
keep
nine,
what you kill.
Right. Possession is 9/10 of the law, and the other tenth is being a big giant pig.
Keep what you kill tournament.
No. That is the worst tournament I've ever.
Hold on. This is really good. Ready? I changed it. Okay, here we go. You play, it's you have to play 8 or 16 people, okay? You play, everyone plays your first round. The end of the round, whoever wins the game, it's assassination only. Whoever wins the game, every mile they've killed.
What if they kill the Warcaster?
Every mile they killed joins you in your next game, as so does your opponent, as a teammate. Okay? And then you move on the next round, so then you're playing a 2 versus 2. And then you guys play, and whoever wins that, then it becomes your team's. No, there's two of them.
It's a 4x4.
So the finals is a 4v4.
So you're basically building your team.
But if you just assassinate the Warcaster, they just get to move around their Warcaster.
Yeah, but what if you play against a bad player?
Though, I'm like, you know what? You can just slaughter my whole army, and then we'll have twice as many.
Yeah, that's...
Yeah, well, I mean, you can do that, and you can, you know, what put an alien in the back of
this is a fail
zone and play. I mean,
now, you're getting this fail on. Stamp on this one.
In a friendly awesome. Format, this sounds interesting. It needs a lot of work.
Yeah.
But something like that could be funny.
Additionally, though, if you make the prize sweet enough, only the person who had been the
actual winner the general.
Would get the prize, mm-hmm. So you would want to win.
So then at the last game, I could screw my opponent.
You can see your friend, yeah.
I like, the person who's I can't win, so I'm just going to kill your cat.
I like it.
I just think it'd be funny to have, like you assassinate the butcher, and then just have the butcher running around the entire board by himself with one else.
Until you get to be, like, Rome, and you're just too big, and all of your vassals you've collected through the game end up turning on you.
Exactly.
In the final.
It may happen. You never know.
That would actually be hilarious.
I just think it'd be fun. I think a big 4v4 at the end with, like, a hodgepodge army, because you might kill everything.
And, like, all the vassals agree to just slaughter the two generals. Loss.
There you go.
All right. Bile thralls are going to purge first turn.
Yeah.
No.
All my bile thralls are facing outwards toward my allies, just in case.
Why are they turning around?
What are they doing?
Why are they running backwards?
They're just mooning the enemy. Don't worry about it.
All right. So, that was my idea.
All right.
Moving on. What were we talking about?
New stuff. The only other new thing that I saw, the next new thing I saw was the Horde's Quick Start rules came out. And they're going to need to come out again.
Coming!
Because Madrak has no spell list.
Yeah, he does.
Well, Madrak has a great spell list.
He doesn't have his own spell
Epic Doomshaper spell list. Yeah. So.
He has more spells than he has Fury.
Which I happen to love. So.
Yeah.
Yeah, there were a few typos, little errors, though. They're going to have to redo that, but at least we got to see more of the new cards.
I haven't seen these cards yet. My question is, have they released quick start rules of the Horde's rules themselves, the base rules of the game?
That's what this was.
Yes. Okay,
this
is the worst version. Okay, right now. Did anybody go through and look at the rules on transfers and Fury and all to see if there are any big differences?
There's a slight problem with that.
What's that?
Apparently, I haven't read it myself, but correct me if I'm wrong. Apparently, now the Shake Off Transfer Frenzy happens in a different order, the original bad order that people didn't like.
Hmm.
At least that's what I've heard.
So
I haven't read it
before
myself.
You shake off?
It's supposed
to
be
shake and then you make frenzy checks.
Yeah. You leech, you shake.
Yeah, because it puts a fury on you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I don't have a problem with that.
I do.
Be quiet, Tim. Just because you don't play a good Horde faction.
But I've also heard, I haven't read it myself. I read at least one person say, it could be interpreted that way. So I don't know if that's exactly how it's written or what. But
when did these
way.
Get released? Because I didn't see them.
It was just a day or two, a couple days ago.
Okay.
There
was no big announcement about it.
Right.
Okay.
So. Yeah, I think things are still in the works. I don't think there's any reason to panic about anything or really make any judgments at all right now.
Let's wait and see what happens this week, and we'll talk about it next week.
Yeah, or, you know, the book will be out in a couple weeks anyway, hopefully. Mm-hmm. So.
And on a sadder note.
We hope.
I was just going to say, are we sure about that?
Well,
we have a date for
Genesis.
We have a date for the Merc book in the deck, so I'm okay. Yeah. I just need my Merc book. That's going to be a great read.
But weren't they trying to get Primal out with Genesis?
They wanted to.
So next month, hopefully, right?
Hopefully.
Cool.
Wishful.
Mm-hmm.
At the very least,
cards are coming out very soon.
Right.
Oh, so. I can't wait.
I'm just going to buy like a bunch of packs, rip them open, throw them in the air. Just be so excited.
Yee-hee. Just throw them up.
Yep.
Yee-hee.
Why don't you just do money instead?
Make it rain.
Make it rain. Because you get more cards than you would money.
Have you ever made it hail?
Unless you do it all once.
Unless you do it all in pennies. Yeah. Ah! Oh, God!
Then you just throw them at people.
On a sad note, the United States was eliminated from the World Cup yesterday.
That was said.
By Ghana again.
Same, oh, again? Really?
This back to back.
Same exact score as 4 years ago, too.
Oh, wow.
Mm-hmm. Ghana but scored year, in the first 5 minutes of the match.
Like 3 minutes of overtime or something.
And then again in the next, like, first 3 minutes of overtime.
Yeah.
But, like, I have to say, it was a good run. The United States needs to work on capitalizing because they had so many tremendous shots on goal. And, and I'm proud of the United States, and I think that soccer got a little bit more popular this year. So I'm pretty excited for that.
It'll be popular again in 4 more years.
Yep.
Yeah, unfortunately, no, it seems to build and then
ebb. You never know. I don't know. There could be more soccer
fans. Well, I have a friend who has actually been following soccer kind of a lot lately, and he's been going to like St. Louis games and stuff, and we just lost our women's, like, I think, semi-pro team. They disbanded them.
Shucks.
So soccer's not going that great in St. Louis.
Yeah, well, although in general, as far as schools and things go, soccer's actually pretty big.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Huge.
Soccer's huge.
Yeah, it is. Yeah. We had Marquette, the high school I went to here, had a really excellent soccer team my senior year. Really proud of them.
Do you have a sister school named Juliet?
Nope.
Okay. All right. Dave, there was a post in our forums you responded to from Vladigar. Would you like to talk about that?
Well, sure. I would put my sheet of paper away because I thought you had it pulled up in front of you, but fine. I will talk, you jerk. One of our listeners, Vladigar, posted on our forum something, a question about local trends, and he asked a couple questions. I thought it was actually pretty interesting and worth mentioning to see if we could get some more feedback from other people and other metas. But basically, he asked a couple questions, and I'll go ahead and read kind of the gist of them. But basically, the first question wants to know if anybody else has seen a shift back towards infantry machine, especially at, he says, a 35-point level. Which I thought was interesting about that was that he kind of compared infantry machine to taking like two heavies and a light and infantry at 35 points, which I don't, at least around here to me, doesn't necessarily feel infantry machine.
Infantry machine is your jack points and then
so,
infantry.
So the question is, what exactly is that? You know, cause it's a term that gets thrown around a whole lot, but has no real meaning. People like kind of throw it out as a derogatory label at something, but it doesn't really have a definition. I thought it was an interesting statement because I'd kind of be interested in hearing, like, apparently, you know, from other metas, where the infantry machine line is and what they see locally as the governing kind of
thing. To me, I mean, infantry machine, what I think of is, always, like I just said, the jack points, and then, you know, maybe spending a little bit more than your jack points just because you want that jack. Like, if you were to bring the Behemoth and all Cotter models, I would say that's very infantry machine.
I think it was quite common in Mark 1 play a 750-point game of Protectorate with two lights and all infantry. That, I think, is infantry machine.
Yeah. I did the same thing with Kirk's.
And I don't think he was throwing it out as some sort of derogatory
No, not at all.
Yeah,
I think
you
were
like, saying that.
Right,
but,
no.
Yeah, but yeah, for me, I was just thinking about this yesterday, actually. To me, it's not just the amount of infantry. I think you can have a lot of jacks and still sort of play infantry machine. Because for me, it's if you have a couple of infantry models that could take down a jack in just a few hits, to me that really helps out with the infantry machine problem. I can't remember what example. It may have been you. I can't remember, Jason. Somebody gave the example of, oh, yeah, these three models took down, like, the Behemoth or something in, like, one turn, and there were just three infantry models.
Great Bears are
great
Bears.
Well,
that's example.
That's certainly an example.
Well, I said three Krill Warriors
maybe
took
that's
down
what it was.
A Warwolf.
That's what it was. And I was thinking to myself when you said that, wow, that shouldn't happen.
Well, I mean, they had, like, six buffs.
Sure. Mm-hmm. And, of course, you're paying points for those buffs. But yeah. I don't know. I just hate seeing three troopers take down something that
beautiful. Yeah, that's actually my biggest beef with the Great Bears, especially with Backswing, Weapon Master, and their huge charge range, is they can decimate a heavy.
Not that huge.
It's huge. It's still pretty significant, and it's over terrain, which is, you know, it's a nice buff for them. I think they're a cool unit and fluffy, but like even just Backswing plus Weapon Master, I think, is what pushes them into the realm of they shouldn't be able to do this to a jack.
Precision Strike's also very helpful for them, too.
Yeah, no kidding. Yeah.
Do they still have their stacked abilities? Oh, if you get it three times, then you're not
going to.
So that's all gone.
Oh, yeah. God,
they just have precision.
So
they just get to choose where the column goes, and that's it.
There's
they don't charge additionally far anymore.
Exactly.
They can't see through forests.
But they're great with Battle Lust
they
or Iron Flesh.
Yeah. Oh, God, with
or
Battle Lust.
Or Wield Secrets.
Or just Battle Lust, because that's just ridiculous.
What do you guys see up in Springfield as far as this goes?
Overall, I've only seen one list lately that's only had a single jack in it. Even some of my old infantry heavy Cawdor players, a lot of times I'm still seeing at least two jacks in it. So many of the Cawdor jacks now, if you're wanting to take just a, if you're going Behemoth, Beast 09, yeah, you might not see too much, but I've seen a lot of people here and there just throwing in that nice little 7-point jugger here and there.
Mm-hmm.
because they've got those nice low-end jacks where if you want something beefy to slow something down, you've got that option.
Yeah. And there's so many things now to buff them. I mean, in the Protector, you've got, you know, Reclaimer, the Vassal's Choir, blah, 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 tons of it. All factions have Jack Marshall. There are power boosters getting spread out. Mm-hmm. I mean, you don't even have to put a bigger strain on your focus anymore. You can spread that out, you know, among your army. And mm-hmm. I think that's one of the great things that's helped with the combat infantry machine.
Yeah, I think that, I mean, I think I see infantry machine, I think it's very much a faction thing. I see a lot of Crick's Jack Heavy list, but most
it
of
still
the infantry problem,
30 McThralls
I think
in.
That, well, not just 30 McThralls, but like, there's this couple of casters where I feel like they just really want it, and their infantry is really solid, and so it really lends to that. There's always, even though Crick's Jacks, I believe, are great, there's still a negative connotation towards them from the Helljacks' poor performance as a Mark I, and I think that, and I believe that, you know, that lends their hands to, you know, seeing that. Additionally, you know, some of the more competitive casters, I believe, are good with that. Whereas Iskar, you know, you gotta bring Jax. And so, and she's definitely one of the better ones.
Yep.
And so people bring Jax. But like with Epic Asphyxius,
you have to have troops.
You have to have troops. Otherwise it doesn't work. So why not bring a lot of them? And he makes, you know, he doesn't really make them great, but he just, you can put them in positions to do better things. Like I like talking about like getting lucky. Like, in my opinion, you have to put yourself in the position to get lucky. So by being able to force Bane Thralls down someone's throat, you, where you maybe would have been more reserved if you would have been more worried about them, now you're giving yourself the opportunity. Maybe they go up and shoot a Bane Thrall, you know, with a bunch of sprays and they miss it or don't kill it like four times where it would have been dead and you probably wouldn't have done that. Now you have a Bane Thrall like charging a jack and taking like an arm off. You know, those opportunities become presented. And by running infantry machine, I feel like you're going to see, give yourself more attempts to get lucky by having really good troops and lots of them.
I think people just need to remember with the Crick's Jacks, just like their infantry, are generally squishy. You just have to remember that before it gets squished, you need to make sure you punch someone in the mouth with it first.
Yeah.
So much with Crick's, you're trading losses back and forth and not caring. So.
And oftentimes that one turn where you get lucky, let's say, oh, you got another turn, another good turn with that jack, that can make so much difference.
Yeah,
if you
absolutely.
Know where to apply its attack.
Yeah, I mean, it's, you know, I've seen all the time. I was watching the finals game yesterday in a tournament with Brad and David and, you know, getting lucky, something not dying. Like the death jack didn't kill Molg. So then Molg was there, you know, and that's just huge. And so, you know, by bringing jacks, you definitely have that ability to soak up damage and stuff. And I think that people are realizing, I see a lot more jacks, even though maybe people are going back to their infantry ways. I still see a lot of jacks. I personally bring them.
Yep.
Do you bring it?
I bring it.
There's actually a second half of this question. And it was, he asked, do you see a lot of minimum or maximum units? Cause he said locally that he sees a whole lot of minimum units and hardly any max.
For me, it depends on the unit. Go figure. Like, I used to take max bile thralls all the time in Mark I. And now, even though I bring them sometimes, it's usually a min unit. Because I still find I get that purge off when I need to.
Yeah.
So I don't know if that's a matter of me just bringing too much in Mark I, or if just the game changing enough where
it can be point differential too.
Yeah. It could be. Well, that,
they
too.
Got
that
real
as well.
Expensive, yeah.
As well.
Biles, though, are the exception in my experience. I've seen a ton of max units. I
really?
Still mm-hmm. see, yeah.
I see a lot of max units myself.
Yeah, huh. I don't.
Because I'm bucking the trend.
I bought a.
You trend bucker.
My hardcore list brought a minimum unit of Kyazi, but other than that, I'm pretty sure I always bring maximum units. Although I have done, I am in love with, like, the idea of a second Creel Warrior unit, minimum with three Cabers, or, like, an Assault Commando unit with three,
That's what makes it interesting, is because there's a lot of good units that you're better off, in some cases, taking the minimum and, like, three of the weapon attachment. Like, I look at it and I think the idea, as much as I like the Uber, Trencher Commando unit with three scatter gunners, I just look at that six base man unit and then three scatter gunners, and that's nine guys for, you know, 9 points. That's still a really good deal.
Yeah.
I think it's the same way with Assault Commandos.
Yeah,
I like Assault Commandos in general, but I don't see the reason, especially with lumping Shield Wall, where you're going to necessarily need the full unit plus all three
right.
of the flamethrowers, especially unless you're running theme-wise. I just don't see it being necessary too often.
I mean, it's the same point cost for nine of them than it is for 10, but you get three flamethrowers instead of those guns. So I would say it's probably worth it.
Would you say the Winter Guard might be an exception to this?
For the 2 points, no point.
Yeah, there's
going
no
minimum.
Point. Yeah, I mean, when you get to that low, you know, this
unless is, you're working on your second unit and you don't have the points to fill it up.
If you're on your second unit, you really want the rockets as just an artillery battery with a little bit of counterpunch. Then yeah.
But, yeah, and then there's some units where the points difference kind of encourages you. I know Miss Hunters, 7 points for the minimum, 10 points for the maximum.
Yeah.
Why not just pay that 3 extra points?
Yeah, they're so expensive. Three mm-hmm. points for four. I mean, you're paying 7 for 6 mm-hmm. and then 3 for 4. I mean, it's a no-brainer.
All right, then.
Yep.
But if anybody else has any thoughts on the topic, I'd love to hear them. You can log on to our forums and I believe it's the War Machine Hordes forum, sub-forum thing.
Sounds good to me.
Or send us an email. Absolutely.
Yeah, or voicemail.
Sure.
No.
Or telegraph.
Telegraph. Candygram.
If you
Candygram from Mongo.
If you send us a Morse code telegraph, we will play it on the air.
We will. We won't know a
smoke
saying.
Signals.
There you go. Dream. Infiltrate our dreams.
Our first,
go light your car on fire.
Freddy Krueger.
And get a blanket. Light your car on fire and get a blanket and send us smoke signals.
Okay.
There you go.
Start randomly showing up at your house and pinning it to your door.
Yeah, right. With a dagger.
Carrier exactly.
Pinning a smoke signal to your door.
Carrier pigeon's a good one, too.
Yep.
Oh, God.
Yep.
That way you'll know when you hear the bump, bump, bump that you've got a new mail nailed to your door. So.
How about pneumatic tube?
Pneumatic.
All right. My sound effects, awesome.
That was great. You're like that guy from Police Academy.
Jonesy.
Oh, my God, he's here.
What?
You got the creeps, the bleeps.
The sweeps, the creeps, and the...
And the bleeps.
Creeps, bleeps, and sweeps, I believe.
I wonder how many people are creeps too young
like,
to get that.
I liked Bobcat Goldthwait myself.
Yeah, he was good.
Well, I know my brother was too young to be watching it when he watched it for an entire summer, and I could not watch the movie again for probably a good 15 years afterwards. Ghostbusters was the same way.
Yeah. All right. Another big thing came out.
Big thing.
Big. Huge. Sort of. It's actually a revision of the SR-2010 rules.
Huge.
Some new little things in there.
What do you think?
I haven't looked at it that much. Certainly haven't played it. So I don't know how the changes are going to affect anything.
I wonder if they played it yesterday. I didn't even realize it.
I don't know if
it's
they did or not.
It's Mega Metal, so it's not Steam.
I stopped by for a few minutes, and there didn't seem to be a scenario in play.
They were. I believe.
Oh, they were?
I thought so. Maybe not. I could be wrong.
I don't know. It was Mega Metal, which is not Steamroller.
Yeah.
So
I was there for a few minutes as well.
Mega Metal
really? When did you show up?
Apparently right after you left.
Oh, wow.
I showed up last as well.
I didn't show up at all.
Well, how about that? We had the whole
thing. Because I was at Joe's Crab Shack killing some crabs.
I had a buddy who wanted to pick up some things, and he forgot where Miniature Market was and was coming over to my house anyway, so I had to take them there and hold his hand so he could buy stuff.
Are you buying Magic cards for people still?
Occasionally, but yeah.
Oh, speaking of which, yeah. I played my first Magic tournament in a year and a couple months the other day.
Oh, yeah, cool.
I'm sorry.
And I won.
Nice.
Well,
won the first constructed event I played in, so I was good. That's all I got.
Power that's gamer.
It. How exactly does that fit in with Steamroller?
It does, because that's what you guys just talked about. You actually brought up the conversation.
Yeah, way to go.
Thank you.
Good job.
It's Swiss. It's perfectly linked.
So. Oh, absolutely. Yeah. Well, they say War Machine is the magic of miniature games.
They do
Shut
say
up,
that.
Dave.
Whoever they is.
That makes Warhammer the L5R, because it's long and boring and fluffy.
Okay.
And you wear costumes to guns. All right, so I cobbled together a few lines here of some changes. I'm sure there were more, but I just give everybody an idea of what has changed.
You're a cobbler.
I am. I'm a peach cobbler.
I need a new pair of shoes.
I make shoes out of fruit.
That
the first
squishy.
One, the big one is, it seems like for every scenario, the scoring now starts at the end of the first player's second turn.
I wouldn't call that the big change.
Well, it's a big change. That's pretty big.
I would
big.
Say that's
it
big
is,
change.
But
it's very big. The next one, which people have heard about for a while, is the change in deployment zones. First player has an 8-inch deployment zone, second player is 12.
Would you say that's the big one, Dave?
I think so.
I think that, though.
I think that's less than the first one.
I think it's bad.
I think it's,
we'll get there.
I haven't played it enough myself to know, but there's an expanded kill box. It's not 28 inches, so you really barely have to move at all to stay in. But it at least keeps you from running back to the edge of the table, I suppose.
Helps a little.
And you can still run sideways.
Well, it's 28 all around, I think.
Yeah.
But, Convergence and Outflank, Outfight, Outlast, I know changed. It was a 12-inch diameter, I think, or maybe 8-inch for one of them, and now it's shrunk by like an inch or two.
People play that scenario?
Oh, the double mosh pit scenario.
Yep.
So good.
So I think they're both, I think they're all 11 inches now.
Didn't all the mosh pit sizes change?
That's exactly what I just said.
Yeah.
Yep. That's, I think, I what most of the, probably. Yeah, I think that's what most of the changes were just tweaks to, besides those two big ones, were kind of tweaks to the zones.
There were changes to the appendix. They now have better definitive rules for hardcore.
Oh, that's right.
Not really. It still says suggested.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, but it's,
I don't understand why they shouldn't say hardcore.
I know.
I thought that was what was going to happen, but
I still can't believe they're trying to tether hardcore to this. But that's another topic.
Even if they're not tethering, even if they are, why don't they just say instead of like suggested, why not say this is what hardcore is? And that way, when people run hardcore events, they're all the same, so you can have comparative data. Suggested. If I ran a hardcore event, I would not run there just because it was suggested. I would say
you would run it differently out of spite.
Yeah, because why not? Why not define it? If they want to give out medals, specific medals that they create, and then someone else like what? Do they, will they not give someone medals if they decide to run, 5 minute turns or
somebody decides to run chest clocks for hardcore instead of regular clocks?
Well, that would be valid, right?
Yeah, there's a chest clock.
It is a variant in the appendix.
But then again, it doesn't say that in the hardcore section.
It doesn't say that.
Oh, right.
So is that legal? I don't know.
I don't know.
I think that they should have just defined it, and then they would have, if they're giving away medals for a very specific thing, there's no reason not to.
You might be reading this wrong. This could be recommend variant combinations. That was what the header is. Recommended variant combinations. That could be set variant combinations that are recommended for you to play.
Thank you for the recommendation, but instead I'm going to play this.
Well, no, I mean, it is the hardcore label.
It says it's recommended when you play hardcore to play
no,
like
no.
that.
No, it's saying hardcore is one of the recommended variants.
So if you play hardcore, you are
that
using
is established.
That
I'm saying it could be read that way. And the fact that you can't, there isn't one definition is, I agree, it's wrong. I'm just saying.
The fact there's an argument to be made
is
stupid. Like, I don't know why they just don't write hardcore.
And this is also very nitpicky, but it's just, whatever.
No, it's not nitpicky.
I'm actually getting so sick of the whole thing anyway.
Me too.
Of just everybody. I don't know.
I'm not getting tired of complaining. I'm actually just getting started.
I know, but you're much younger than me. Once you get to our old age, man who doesn't remember things from the 80s that he should.
Don't worry, there'll be a new Jason coming along to wear this Jason down. So
never.
It never ends.
No, it's, in a lot of ways, it's a little weird. It's definitely different, but it doesn't necessarily make it bad. It might just feel weird more than anything.
And that's always going to be a component to it. You know, it's new, so it's going to feel weird, but I don't know.
I think my biggest issue right now is I really don't like the uneven deployment zones, especially with all the stupid bonuses that some of these tiered lists are getting.
How do you like your dwarf starting in the middle of the table?
Yeah, I mean,
it's just goofy.
So wait, 12, they get advanced deploy,
mm-hmm.
And so it's 12. Plus six.
So they get advanced move or something, too?
No. I don't know. They got AD in exchange for that, I think. Mm-hmm. But maybe a tier will give them an extra 2 inches like some.
But you can't use the tier and the contract bonus, right?
Yes, that's correct.
My biggest concern is that there are casters that excel by turn one or turn two. Mm-hmm. And this whole, I think it favors going second way too much.
I think it also,
and I know their thought is that the scoring on the first player, end of the first player, second turn is supposed to offset that. But in my opinion, it only makes it worse.
In my opinion, it favors fast armies because if you can manage going, you can, like, when I play a fast army, like when I was playing Krix, I wouldn't always, most of the time I would run my entire distance, but I didn't have to.
No.
I can run, like if I can run, if my entire army is at least speed 6, I can run 12 inches up and I'll be 10 inches or I'll be 20 inches off the line, which is a great position to be in. However, if my army's speed 4, it's not the same. You know, if they're punishing you for bringing someone like, the Hammerfall High Shields in a Signar army. They make it difficult.
Or the
Horgan
Ford.
Or the Horgan Ford. Or my entire Cotter army.
That's the thing. I mean, like, if you're like playing Krix now and you're playing against someone like Cador and they don't have a lot of the speed buffs, you know, they're playing a slower list, let them go first. You're going to be in their face and they're never going to get across the center line.
Take your Soul Hunters or your Satixus and shove them down their throat.
The 14-inch threat range Satixus.
No, my
14.
14.
Please.
That's, well, you know.
Well, yeah, what I'm saying is that, what I'm saying, well, if you're running, I mean.
But that was meant if you're going to attack.
Oh, yeah, sure.
Well, like, you know, to me, I mean, that was like in my opinion, I mean, I know lots of people did it, but I feel it was very signature. Like the way I always played Steamroller, especially with Krix, was just shoving things down your throat, and I don't care if you kill it. I'm going to keep you off objectives. Like I won countless number of games just by having more models in their face, not even attacking.
Quantity is a quality all of its own.
Like, two units of Soul Hunters at 1,000 points, taking someone and literally wedging them in. They have to kill them, and then the next turn I get them back again with someone like Epic Asphyxius, and there's no way to win the scenario. It's just zero way. And you can do that even easier now.
Here's my question. The Five Horsemen event at Gen Con, is that going to be an SR?
Yeah. Because
we need to start practicing this.
Yeah.
I was thinking about that yesterday.
Yeah. No, it's going to be an SR. Yeah, we'll figure. I mean, once we, you know, now these rules are out, it'll be really helpful.
I will say that the scoring change is a good one based on because they moved the deployment zones. Because the guy who started 4 inches further upfield scored first, even if he goes second. That would be a problem. And I'm glad it made both changes and not one of them.
See, I don't like it because it's going to make the games even shorter now. Like, okay, sure. The guy who goes second is 12 inches. Let's say he can't get into the zone. Or, you know, let's say, like, you know, if you're a Cotter Army, you might not be able to get in the zone. Say you're playing, you know, a bunch of Man of War. Then the person who goes first can score, forcing you to get in there, and then they can clean out, score, and win. Like, win the game. You know, butcher on butcher, there's no reason that the first player butcher wouldn't be able to win that game. It shouldn't happen, because you just, you know, first turn you get, or the second turn you get in the zone, score, next turn they contest, next turn butcher pops his feet, kills everything, score again.
And then you have theme lists that extend your deployment zone already, which then increases your, I'm going to go second, and now I have a 14-inch deployment zone.
Epic Denegra.
Epic Denegra is the poster child for why this is wrong. Well, and she's not the only example, but she is the greatest example.
I just want to say this.
And wait.
Partially because I am getting sick of it, but I think a certain amount of theory is certainly valid, but I think it has to be tempered with actual experience on the table, so I'd like to suggest that we just try it out.
I agree with you, but it does say scoring begins at the first player's second turn. Correct. So, like, you get the second player can score.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, yeah, you score, and everybody can score on any turn.
And so there's the potential you're saying, so, like, first turn, first player runs, then Epic Negra, who's deployed 14, charges a Soul Hunter. She moves.
And then pops her feet.
She moves 10 inches, pops her feet. So she's 24 up plus 14. So
that's if Derek Greg didn't move her forward an inch, and if she wasn't pushing inch and stuff.
Yeah, so. It's without pushing in Derek Greg action. Wow. That's pretty ridiculous.
Because now she'll score on your turn.
She'll score on your turn.
And then the game's over.
Right, yeah. Yeah, so, I mean, the thing is, though, I haven't heard anybody actually say that they play that. Not that I'm doubting it won't work, but I'd just like to see what they
play. I want to see people break it.
I think it's because a lot of people don't want to be that dick.
If it's in an experimental arena anyway, I mean, you want to see that sort of thing.
But so, I don't know. I just...
None of my Troll Army ADs.
I'm not going to, you know, just throw this away and say it's completely worthless. I want to play it and I like a lot of the scenarios. Mm-hmm. Don't get me wrong.
I love the smaller scenarios.
I don't think this was a good change right before Gen Con.
I agree. I think that they should have stuck with Steamroller 2010 for a year and then fixed it.
And then experimented with it. Or they should have had multiple groups testing this months and months in advance before.
Maybe they did.
It's entirely possible they did. Yes. So.
I don't think that it's a bad thing to change it now. I'm going to disagree with you because if, in their mind, okay, let's take out for the fact RPing aside, if this is an improvement in their mind, and I'm not saying it's not, I just want to say that they're assuming this is better. There's no reason not to put this out before the biggest tournament of the year. They should make the fixes as much as they can before Gen Con.
I just bought an Edeni army.
Congratulations.
And I think this goes without saying, but I think some people forget it sometimes, and that is they're not trying to deliberately screw the game over.
No.
And I'm not saying anybody here is saying that, but I mean, you know, like you just said, Dave, they're making fixes that they think are appropriate, and if that's the case, then sure, they should put it out now. I agree.
My concern is there's, especially at the big events like Gen Con, there's always the one
douchebag.
There's always a douchebag.
Sure. But you're never going to get
away with that. Every party has a pooper. Yep.
But the counter argument is, at a tournament like that, at Masters, there are going to be people who are gaming the system as much as possible. Mm-hmm. No, I don't think any amount of tweaking of the rules is going to eliminate that.
Yep.
And they would have gaining it under the previous system too. I don't have any problems with them changing it midstream. I mean, we've had 6 months to play around with it. They've had 6 months of feedback and them running stuff. I mean, how often are you getting updates on your computer? I get pretty much daily updates. It seems like I don't mind 6 months in playing around with things, changing zones around, the deployment zone change plus the scoring is definitely a big change. It's going to take some getting used to, but there is a good, 6 weeks, a little bit more left until Gen Con for people to get some degree of practice, and that's at least two events reasonably.
So, I honestly think my biggest objection to the deployment zones, I mean, E-Denny's E-Denny. The only way they're going to change fix E-Denny is to change her, which I think they should, but that's a different topic.
It's not just her, though.
Well, it's not. You're right, but...
Gorton is almost fast now.
I think that it's the combination of the change deployments and scoring and the tier lists. I think that is actually kind of a problem.
Yeah, theme forces do throw a monkey wrench into the works a little bit.
And theme forces.
I mean, balancing a game is about making sure that all the rules work together in a fair manner. The more rules you introduce, the more variations, is the more variables that you have to balance. Mm-hmm. And the tier list, the themes forces, they introduce a lot more variables.
And it was funny because, you know, the whole one of the things Mark II is like, oh, we're going to cut down some of the ways that the game can be screwed up, especially by eliminating some rules, different wordings, you know, things that do similar things, now they do the same thing, so the interactions are going to be more common, and now you're throwing new abilities, weird abilities, maybe something you can't foresee, you know, it's hard to playtest now in the future.
Yep.
As more Warcasters and more Epic Warcasters come out, and Warlocks, that only increases the number of tier lists that are going to come out.
Mm-hmm. So, I mean, I don't think this is necessarily a criticism, because I think the theme list, they're great, but it does introduce a lot of variables into the format that need to be fixed. Do you guys think, and I'm not going to suggest this, but do you think they should have been casual only?
That would have been the safe approach.
But I think, that would take out a lot of people who like playing them for fun.
Additionally, you're spending money on your army, spending time painting your army, so now you can't play the one thing that you wanted to do. Like, you know, I know Ray wants to make a sticks.
Yeah. It's easier for us to say because we have a large collection within our factions. But if you like, I'm going to build an army. I'm going to build this theme army because it's fun. Mm-hmm. And then you can't play in a tournament. You're right. That would suck a whole lot.
Yeah, I think that would be a little bit too conservative of an approach. I mean, especially with a lot of the tier lists requiring multiples of the same unit that you don't normally see too often in a lot of ways. Mm-hmm.
What would you guys think if all the tier lists got errated to remove the extra starting distance and maybe even the initial roll might be okay because we can get that from other places too. But if they took out the early movement stuff, kind of tried to bring it back a little bit.
I think then you might be getting to the realm of just adding more rules. You're detracting from the rules, but at the same time, you're sort of adding rules.
Yeah, and also errating, which an errata needs to be very much warranted. I mean, not saying it's not very important, but it has to be very much worded to be able to say, the thing that I've written is incorrect, and now you must go to this place to find the correct rules.
Yeah. I'm just, I only bring this up because I'm concerned for the format, and there's no way of saying this is horrible. I mean, like Josh said, we haven't played it a whole lot yet. It's gotten a little bit of test. I know other people have been playing with the 812, but we haven't locally because it wasn't the official one. And
you're still practicing for DICON.
it's one of those things where it's none of us want to see the tournament format make people not want to play it. And I'm not saying this is like that, but if people pop up that can break this and it becomes no fun, then that's going to make people not want to play, and that's not good for the community. I want to stress it, I'm not saying this is that.
Right.
I'm just saying that's a huge concern in creating a format.
Well, and worst comes to worst, if they've shown willingness to change already, they might a bit worse have to swallow for a while and wait until 2011 steamroll.
Yeah, hardcore has changed. I mean, they after it's been played a couple times, that's now changing. You know,
812.
Yeah, it is now 812, but they're also like changing.
What's the distance from the center to the front line in new hardcore?
Of what?
First or second player?
The first player.
First player would be up to.
What is the kill box right now?
It's 28 by 28.
Yeah, so it's 10 inches from the edges.
So it is your deployment zone. Yeah, is the original deployment
zone? And I heard that was so every Warcaster can now measure at any time to see where the edge is. That was the rationale I was given.
What about under Negra's feet?
Well, then no.
Ah!
Oh, regular Negra's feet?
Yeah.
Well, just make sure you're not in melee with the Negra to get bounced out by her. And
he missed regular
Negra. Oh, regular Negra, yes. That's true.
You cannot measure.
Well, at that point, the Kobuk expands to the your
hope your command is big enough.
Yeah,
you can.
Oh, there you go.
Because it's not affected by her feet.
But you can only.
Ah, that's a good point.
You know, they could have done something like. Well, no, that
you can only measure that during your turn.
Mm-hmm. I was going to say, activation. If your control radius goes off the edge of the table, you lose. But that would be really mean. Like the Harbinger's got
Harbinger's spread to the
fender. Holy crap, guys. Holy crap.
Please don't slam me.
Yeah.
Throw me forward. Hurry.
She has a parade float.
Yeah. Anyway. But what do you guys think for the format? I mean,
I'm excited to play Crix.
Yeah.
That'll be fun.
Well, and worst comes to worst. I don't know how about down here, but how often do you guys actually see the tier lists or the theme forces? I see maybe one in event.
There are a few people that like them a lot down here.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I haven't seen too many, but
additionally, I don't think that they're really bringing a competitive edge.
Right.
I think, though, that some of these that can go first and go fast.
Mm-hmm.
This format is actually going to make them pop up more. Actually, maybe that's what PP wants. Maybe PP wants them to come up more.
It's a sales tactic to sell more units.
Well, I mean, I think we have to be honest. I think
that was a joke.
I mean, I think that's obviously part of it. If on tier two you must buy two units of this, well, that means people are going to buy two, and I don't think there's anything wrong with them doing that.
No,
at all.
I'm just running proxies.
But they do have a warcaster with a feat that requires you to have a unit.
Well, yeah, but that's been out since Escalation.
I know.
And you got to bring gore shit anyway, especially in Mangle Battle games.
Josh, I'm going to hurt you.
I know.
Why does everyone hate that?
I don't know. I love it.
You're so feetless, much. But you get a unit.
Yeah, sure. That you can deploy whenever you want.
That's true. It has Deep Strike. And can charge turn it comes into play.
Yeah.
So you're saying that gore shit is a rhino?
Essentially.
Rhinos don't Deep Strike.
Well, Land Raiders do with the Blood Angels.
Oh, my God.
Is it sad that they know this or that we're talking 40K. About
it? No.
I don't play it.
I'm kidding. Hey, I play all sorts of crazy games.
I'd play it if I had the money to spare on it. I'd probably put Fantasy. It's because I like the Fantasy games better. But
8th edition.
It's called Renaissance Man, Dave. Expand your horizons.
Hey, actually, I still play Mordheim. I love it.
Mm-hmm.
My biggest thing is I paint so damn slow. I cannot start another faction, pretty much.
Yeah. That was a very, very fun game. I mean, they've got all sorts of fun little side things, like Lustrous Cities of Gold for it, too.
And someone did an unofficial one in... where is it the Vampire Council from?
Sylvania.
I think there was like an unofficial... Called like Terror in the Streets or something like that.
Blood in the Streets?
No. There's a different expansion.
There was Empire in Flames.
Yeah.
You know the thing that keeps me from buying a new faction in any game? I don't want to buy a more storage space for it, more bags and foam. That's the thing that actually makes me not want to play other games.
I just took a couple empty SS bags down to storage room this weekend and then dug up my Vampire Counts and brought it up.
Do you know what makes me not want to do that? Assembly. I can't assemble.
That too.
And I hate assembly.
I think that if they're plastics, though, it's so easy. I mean, there's a big argument. I love how much easier it is to pin and assemble plastics.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but for example, I was assembling my Eldar the other day, and it's like, yeah, it's plastic, it's easy, but it's like 8 parts a model, and they're you know, an inch tall, and I have to do 40 of them.
And Jason's all thumbs.
Okay.
And I'm all
thumbs. Dave, it's easier for you because you're dainty.
This is true. I am quite... Well,
you're elfish.
From my Mordheim days, I had a box of plastic dwarves, and I decided to finally assemble and paint them up for, like, generic dwarves for my role-playing game. And so for each dude... I drilled all the way through their shoulders and into each arm, and so there was one pin going through them. It was extremely solid, and it still took me very little time to assemble all, like, whatever, 30 dudes.
Yeah, I would recommend renting a very long movie.
Yeah. Actually, I did. I had a laptop in my study by my desk.
Mm-hmm. I'm a big fan of Netflix streaming now because my computer is right next to my paint desk.
Unless
I just went out and bought a 40-inch TV to watch while painting.
Good job.
I just pop in Generation 1 Transformers. I'm in the middle of Season 2 right now.
Dude, that's what it is. It's Gen 1, the game. You should get the game.
Sweet.
Okay.
Anyways. I'm going to have to borrow that.
2010. Once again.
So back to 2010.
Your request 2010?
2010, back again.
You see, Zargon, the evil sorcerer, controls all monster movements.
Anyways.
According to this that I'm reading.
That is the Hero Quest.
Dungeon Master.
Dungeon Master screen.
Okay, so my final thoughts about SR 2010, the revision.
2010.2.
It's like a start date. Like Star Trek. Star Trek or something.
2010.2.
Oh man,
supplemental.
I want to play
Captain's Log.
I want to play Spock in Steamroll, but only if I can go second.
That's the retribution. So what I was going to say is we all just need to give it a chance before we gloom and doom it to death. I know everybody's got their own opinions for it, and I know I've probably been very outspoken about it, at least locally. I think we should just, you know, play it first, and, you know, they're always willing to accept feedback. Obviously, they have been if they've already made a revision once.
Well, so. Keep in mind, how many Steamroller changes have we seen over the years?
Right, exactly.
They're constantly updating this thing because flaws are found or things need to be changed.
Because they just don't do it right.
Think of it as a living document. You know, like a living rule set. It's Which always it going sure. to be changed. Mm-hmm.
And I know Steamroller 3 lingered for a long, long time, and it
hated
had
three.
Yeah, it had things that really needed to be dealt with, and I would much prefer that they tweak it. I mean, 6 months is a pretty good time span to work with. If it's every 6 months, I don't think people are going to get too frightfully confused versions of it.
I wouldn't even mind faster if it's timed well.
Yeah.
Not right before Gen Con.
Yeah. At least give a month. Give people some time to fiddle with it.
But, you know, you said earlier we have, 6 weeks to Gen Con?
Mm-hmm.
Guys, we only have about 6 weeks to Gen Con.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
That number wasn't, and this happens every year, that number wasn't in my head until
six
you
months
said
to
that.
Drink, or yep. 6 weeks to drink machine.
That is not a long time.
You kids have fun. So.
Oh, you're not going?
No. My wife has an annual training that weekend.
Oh, yeah.
Which promptly, as soon as Gen Con moved forward, so did my wife's annual training. So, yes.
Because that saved some, like a bunch of teachers never went to Gen Con because it was at the start of school year, and so they pulled it back, but it still screwed you over.
Mm-hmm. There's next year. I'm going to War Machine Weekend this year.
Oh,
so
cool. Yes. Good.
I've arranged a trade-off between Gen Con 1 year, War Machine Weekend the other. So.
That's a good trade.
Mm-hmm. But no, overall, there are definite changes. The distance between the two zones is the same. Mm-hmm. It'll be weird having that second player so close to being able to jump into the zone, but I think that's half the intent. Mm-hmm. I mean, if you're not having an Epic Denager or a Iris player right up there next to the zone and then making it difficult for anybody to get into it, 90% of the time it's not going to be as much of an issue. It's just...
That's a good point. We've talked about like the break cases, but for everyone who's not going to totally dick the system, it does give an interesting twist.
What a Vindictus running his daughter's forward.
That's going to be hilarious.
That's
and
fine,
I say going to be because it's going to happen.
Just run a Devastator up and that takes care of probably half a unit of daughters. And
what can't be fixed by a Reign of Death?
That's true. Actually, Satixis now.
Oh.
Because it's blast damage.
Exactly.
You just Comic Joe your Rocketeer and
exactly.
Just go see what
I think you
think.
Baldur's just going to throw down.
I watched a game between one guy running Satixis and another guy had a Kodiak and a Devastator, both of which is Vent Steam and Reign of Death could not affect the Satixis at all.
The Vent Steam's Blast?
Vent Steam, I believe, is Blast. I'm not sure. I'll have to look it up.
Yeah, well, let me pull out
maybe
my
favorite
book.
Maybe it's an Honor Pal 12.
Uh-oh. Research.
Uh-oh.
Excuse
me while I whip this out.
Oh, yeah, while he's looking that up, I actually made it through all of the Fluff and the Forces books.
Yeah, how was it?
Wherever, it was a lot shorter than I thought. I hadn't looked at it, and I didn't realize how little the story actually
is. Yeah, the fluff
is not big.
For what?
So I was intimidated by reading
all the fluff.
And I just realized that there wasn't a whole lot.
How was Edeni? Was she not a sneaky little bitch?
Yeah. She got
the old witch?
No, but she punked back.
She did. She likes walking.
She owned
like Morbus.
Him.
Thank
God.
Oh, my God. Thanks. I was like, oh, you bitch.
She's so awesome.
And Morbus was like, what the fuck?
And Asphyxius immediately picked up on it. I love that. He's like, well, you better stay. You know, you stay
it was like an Ocean's 11 cannon.
He's like, Morbus.
It was, yeah.
Like, Morbus, buddy, you need to stay here with us.
We do not have to have a third episode about Crick, so let's move on.
I love how he's
the old witch is what it was all about in that story.
What's up?
The old witch.
Yeah, she owned.
The Kodiak, the Vent Steam, is not blast damage.
It's not blast damage. That's good for the Kodiak.
That's
unfortunately, he's only going to get probably one or two of them.
Once before they get
spread out.
Skill Sea Witch.
Exactly.
That's all you got to do. Skill Sea Witch. That's not a problem.
I'm gonna
piss people off. That's the first target.
Oh, yeah.
I'm going to pretend I'm Flans here for a minute. So, Scorn.
Oh.
Yes, Scorn.
Scorn.
I can't wait for that book.
We haven't really talked about
You're
Scorn a lot.
You're not the only one.
So. Hell hath no fury like a Scorn Scorn.
Actually, it's a Agonizer Scorn.
Oh, it's actually Makeda's Scorn.
Scorn hath no fury than a very giant Scorn who missed his lunch.
So
there you go.
Of eyeballs.
Are you saying we should have fed you before the podcast?
Oh, no, I got my lunch.
The Scorn, so. Are, good. The Scorn are an empire, and you can play their leader.
So you can
it's
now.
Rare.
You can, well, rare. You can play you the can play Protector's Vinter? Leader.
You can play Protector's Leader now, too.
Vinter, Railthorn?
He's not a leader anymore.
No, that's true. He left of his own free will, though.
Just as... what's his name? He's not the leader anymore. I can't think of his name.
Was Boyle?
It Hierarch's name, yeah.
That's
he left
he's
on his
dead.
Own free will, too.
No.
Yep. Strecker's no. like, get out! He knew he could die. Or actually, probably
he took the weapon that auto-hit.
Yes. All right, so anyway.
A list.
Let's try this again. Mm-hmm. So, Scorn.
I went ahead and brought my list today. If you're, I couldn't think of too terribly pithy of a nickname. The best I could probably do would that I'm bringing Hexy back. So,
ooh.
And that
is
unfortunately,
that's funny.
That's really good.
Is this 35 or 50?
This is 50.
Okay,
so. I hate the song though.
Why?
Because Justin Timberlake is—he's
actually a really funny guy.
I know
he's going to be on Glee this season.
What's up?
He's going to be on Glee this season.
Yeah. Glee's going to be so good.
It's a funny show.
Anybody who
I missed the start.
Anybody
so
who will
I need to catch up.
Anybody who will go into Madison Square Garden and sing Junk in a Box on stage with a big brown box taped to his waist.
Gets your vote.
He gets credit. Dude, I'm not a fan of his music, but that was hilarious.
He's a great guy. I'm a fan of his.
So it starts with Hexorus?
Starts with Hexorus. I had a request to add a Razor Worm, as rather new and pretty neat for 4 points.
We saw it used at Daikon. It worked pretty well for some people, especially with Hex.
Oh, cool.
Mm-hmm. Mullet Karn, Rhinodon.
Really?
Yeah, exactly. Rhinodon, Titan Gladiator, full unit of Aquari, base unit of Paingiver Beast Handlers, full unit of Praetorians with the UA, Tyrant Commander and Standard, Bullet Runner, Master Tormentor, and Orin Midwinter for a little bit of anti-magic there at the end.
What was immediately before Orin?
It was Bullet Runner, Master Tormentor.
Ninja.
The Whip Ninja. Now, is he in there for point filler? Because you don't have the rest of the ninjas. I can't remember their name.
The Blood Runners.
I've had mixed results with the Blood Runners. I've seen them die to a man, and I've seen them do some fun stuff here and there.
Does she still have Anatomical Precision Thresher?
Yes, yes, she does.
And that's what you got her here for?
Yep, and that's the whole reason. Well, that's half the reason why the Rhinodon's in there as well, because his new Animus is pretty neat. It grants boosted attack rolls on special attacks, which is what Thresher is.
Yep.
So, Mat 8 boosted attack roll Thresher with Anatomical Precision is pretty fun.
And you can actually get that spell up on our easier because of some of Hexer's new abilities, which are really cool, especially with that damn Submerge Worm.
Yes. I was thinking it'd be pretty darn fun to Soul Slave the Razor Worm, have him go flying forward, trying to get after a nice juicy target, nice infantry guy, then use that little Scurry plus Dig In to pop out right next to a caster, and then Hexeris can go ahead and start blasting away if he's got a... handy beast target around where you might be able to charge it, kill it, reeve, throw some more spells at it, and go from there.
And you can also move somewhere closer to the Master Tormentor to hit it with the spell.
Exactly.
Because, well, what does Soul Slave do now?
Soul Slave prevents you from having to take threshold checks and, let's see, automatically passes threshold checks, and you model can channel through the affected war beast. So it is a arc node for Hexeris, which is huge because he also got Soulfire from Fiona. So you have the choice.
Spell.
Yeah, you have the choice of that, or he's got Obliteration as well if you feel like getting a big fat AoE out there.
So wait, doesn't Soulfire specifically say you gain one focus? So wouldn't that be...
Let's double check since I've got
it. That'd be really funny if they just put it in, because
it
verbatim.
It gains one XXX point.
Ah,
in the,
there you go. Nice.
He gets bonus armor.
Yeah.
Yeah, he camps on it. He can't spend that focus. It lasts until the end of the turn.
I think it means you get to choose what you get.
Probably. Exactly. So.
That's pretty cool.
Choose focus.
And now, did the worm have something where it like doubles command rate? Can it go further out?
I don't believe so, unless
AD.
I missed something.
I was thinking
it's got
of,
AD.
Yeah, that's what it is. I was thinking of something else.
It's got girded. It can dig in.
Isle of
Sight, which is great. So, yeah, I can throw...
Pathology, right?
I don't remember off the top of my head.
I think it was a Pathfinder. I'm pretty sure it has AD, Eyesight, and Pathfinder.
Now, what's Death March do? That changed too.
Death March changed a lot.
It's pretty sweet.
It's plus two mat, which I would just about take it for that, and Vengeance. So.
And who are you going to put that on?
I would start off with Praetorians so they can go up and die horribly for their leadership.
The cause.
Yes. I generally find if you have more than about two or three Praetorians left from a full unit at the end of your game, you've probably done something wrong. So, and then after they're down to the point where it's not terribly useful anymore, then the Arcori can get it to go flying in with Mat 9.
And if they're stupid enough to only be able to kill one of them, it's going to be a hell of a next turn.
Yeah, exactly. That's when the great, the kind of drawbacks of Vengeance, we've seen it mostly on Mat 6 units. But and just like in Legion can chiller the Legionnaires to get them up to Mat 8 of Vengeance attacks, these guys also getting up to Mat 8 is...
No, they're Mat 7.
Mat 9.
Yep.
I thought they were 6.
Arcori are 7.
Oh, 7. I thought you were talking about Praetorians.
Yeah,
Praetorians are 6.
Both, though. I mean,
yeah. I'm saying, yeah. Mat
boosting
7,
Praetorians to 8 is great, especially with... their unit attachment gives them sidestep, and once per game you can do the equivalent of anatomical precision on warrior models. So you can send them flying through infantry models, especially shield walls if someone's clumping them, and especially if you load it up with its feet turn, which turns enemy warrior models, even living or undead, you can basically turns them into a friendly solo, undead solo. You get to make a move and make an attack with them. So if I go flying up to a unit of Bane Thralls, send the Bane Thralls walking back toward one of their own jacks or another juicy target, just chaining it down the line.
And what's cool about that is they keep all their abilities.
That only affects, I believe,
I think it affects beasts if you kill a beast.
It used to affect beasts, but now
solo
living or undead enemy model.
Okay, so...
That could be on beasts.
Okay, so Josh, help me out with this one. Haxorus soul blasts a you're playing against Krix.
Okay.
He soul blasts a Mechanowraith.
Machine Wraith.
Uh-huh. And then has it go possess something. It can't leave play because it's not on the table anymore.
Possession is a special attack.
It has no special attacks?
It's one normal melee.
Normal melee. Okay, I didn't hear that.
Yep. Melee is a special attack.
Okay, I didn't hear that. I thought it was just one.
So what happened if you...
That's good.
Yes. Oh, yes. That would be scary.
That's cool. I like this a lot because on top of this stuff that we've talked about, you still have Mullet Karn.
Yeah. I mean, it's pretty darn handy.
And a Gladiator. Yeah. And a Rhinodon.
Yeah.
Rhinodon, is he 7 points?
He's 7 points. A 7 point heavy with stat
line. I don't
have
an 8 point heavy in my army.
I know. That's the kind of craziest thing right now with trolls not being able to get a heavy below 9. But
or a light below 5.
Exactly. But what you got? Can punch.
Yeah, no, it's good. It's good. It's just a little less flexible.
I like the Rhinodon too, because I mean, like you said, it's really abusive with that Tormentor, especially, I mean, if you get a second one out there.
And you'll wipe infantry with him too, because he gets the boosted attack rolls. He's only Mat 5, but I mean, boosted attack rolls, you'll kill a big swath of infantry.
Your
muck.
Your first wave is the Assassin. Probably going to die. If it doesn't, you hit it again, because you got the quote-unquote Arc Node. If it does die, well, then you got the Stegodon. Bulbasaur, I choose you to go in and flail away. And on top of this, you've got Mullet Karn hunting down some big heavy that you want really dead.
Yep, and the Rhinodon's Animus is going to get a ton of use. I've seen the Rhinodon get kind of maligned in Mark II. I mean, granted, he's low pow, but you've got Pain Givers. So
yeah, absolutely.
Bump it by two.
Oh, man, you could do that with... I mean, I'm not sure if it would be worth it. It depends on how much armor they're carrying, but you could give Mullet Karn a free Fury for a combo strike.
Exactly.
You need to combo strike something with really high armor.
Yep. There's a lot of stuff in this list that has the potential to get those special attacks, Praetorians combo striking.
Yeah, Praetorians too.
Now the one thing you don't
have. It costs one.
Yeah.
So you can use the Soul Slave Worm to arc it onto like six guys if you just want to blow Fury.
Oh yeah, that's
pretty neat.
The one thing that you don't see in this list that you at least used to see a lot in Mark One. Scoring that Tim would comment on is there's no way to use your souls. Your dudes are going to die. They don't go anywhere.
That's true. I used to be a...
But who cares when you got that much offense?
Exactly. I used to be a huge Ancestral Guardian fan. I haven't gotten to play much Scorn in Mark II. I like to play around with it. I'm kind of so-so on. I very much miss Weapon Master. It'll be interesting to see how much use you can get out of Defensive Strike.
I just don't
strike.
Get why this didn't increase his power if they want to take away Weapon Master.
Yeah.
By
they
one.
Did by one.
It could have been two.
What is it now?
If you had 14, I'm pretty sure you would hear no 13. Complaints.
But it can't be knocked down.
Which is
ever.
Cool.
That's cool.
That's pretty good.
It's not
the thing
that cool,
is,
though.
Now, it's not great, but it's a great thing for... I mean, we're kind of going off topic. This isn't in your list, but slamming your own dude over stuff.
He has medium base.
Yeah, exactly.
I think they're a little less reliant on the souls.
Yep.
Yes. Than they used to be.
Yeah.
So they actually, still they have potent uses, mm-hmm. but they're a little less.
I'll tell you my biggest gripe, and correct me if I'm wrong, but you can only now have three souls.
Yes, mm-hmm. that's huge. If, you, if they had no weapon master, they should have let them have five.
Yeah. If he had, if he could sell a five, mm-hmm. he would still be a good kill even without weapon master. Yeah. Path 13. But now
I think it's probably a mix between wanting to bring down the power of Unison General. They brought that seemed to bring down most of the solos. I mean, I think, Tartarus is probably a bit of an exception.
But he also went up in cost.
I think exactly. I think they really wanted to see more variety on the Scorn side of the table. Mm-hmm. The problem is they're not seeing it yet because the Scorn meta hasn't developed. So you're seeing a lot of the same stuff. And mm-hmm. like I like your list. This is you've seen so far. We've seen a lot of Xerxes and a lot of Makeda's.
Mm-hmm. I did Makeda's, yeah.
Right. Xerxes got some love at Daikon, mm-hmm. but I mean, this is just another example of here's another. Way to play. I mean, now, Xerxes list.
Hexorus was always my favorite, and he's mm-hmm. the. I'm going back to him first when I get back into Scorn.
Now, question though, why the Arquari and not the Satrati?
Honestly, Satrati are so expensive. They're 11 points.
They're
for a
2 points
unit.
More for a full
okay.
unit.
Mm-hmm. I did not know that they were only 9. Mm-hmm. I thought they were 10.
Especially since the Praetorians get the ability where you can draw a line of sight through them.
Oh, they have ranked attack.
Right. Yeah, ranked attack with the unit attachment.
Oh, so you can shoot through them and pull them up.
Exactly.
Them.
I can shoot through them, pull them up. Even if I'm even close enough, if I'm right behind them, I can potentially even get a melee attack because yeah. Arquari get that free melee attack when you yeah. drag.
The one
like, I did not know that. Yeah. I did not know that they were not 10. They're only 9. That's really amazing. Mm-hmm.
The one downfall of the Arquari composers and Trotty, I think that most people think, is the lack of survivability.
Exactly.
But if you got 12 Praetorians with freaking Death March Bear on them running at your them. Face. Mm-hmm.
But 9 points for armor 16, 8 box.
No, that's
actually,
good.
They're 15.
Oh, they're only 15.
Yeah, it's a little painful.
But so. The thing is, you've got Mullet Karn. Mm-hmm. You've got that worm running around with the Arc Node. Mm-hmm. You've got your Ninja. Mm-hmm. You've got 12 Praetorians. Are you really going to spin attacks in the Arquari early game?
No, you're not.
Probably
not.
Just going to kill Mullet.
And if you want to do that, fine, because I've got 3 heavies coming right along with
yeah.
them.
Yeah,
and with Death March, too, you know, we talked about... I've talked about before about, especially with the Cinerators when I was speaking about how I enjoy them, you can really, especially now because they have reach, you can put them in a position where they kind of have to kill one of them or two of them, and now you have these vengeancing, you know, if vengeance isn't going to get you an attack, it's at least going to get you 3 inches on a unit like mm-hmm. that. 3 inches is all you need usually.
Yeah, so I mean, they're speed 5?
Yeah.
They're 5, yep.
So that increases their threat
actually,
range.
I wish Bastions were 5. Yeah.
Tyrant awesome. Commander as well to give them an extra 2 if they're just advancing.
Yeah, if
they want to shoot.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's great.
It's 3 plus 2 plus 5 is 10-inch mm-hmm. move and then an 8-inch shot. Mm-hmm. It's an 18-inch yep. shot.
Yep, pretty Tyrant good. Commander helps keep those Praetorians in line in case they want to try and run away. So...
I like it.
So, yeah, I think it's a good list. Yeah,
that's a really well thought
I don't,
list.
I mean, I like it. I don't have no steamroller with the new format, obviously. Experience to say how to do claiming scenarios, but it seems like a lot to clog up an area.
Oh, mm-hmm. I think that's great and for claiming scenarios. His feat yeah. is excellent for scenario
oh,
play.
Yeah.
Oh, yes.
You had an army in the point.
Exactly.
Now I have an army mm-hmm. in the point.
Yeah. It's like, oh, you got something in the zone? Well, now they're all going to help me out. Because in scenario, especially like a mosh pit scenario, mm-hmm. you want to clog up.
And you know, mm-hmm. we haven't talked about Orin Minor at all. But mm-hmm. shit, all those medium bases and even the Praetorians to hide him behind and
exactly.
go, hey, by the way, no spells.
Mm-hmm.
He himself on his feet turn can generate 3
yeah.
with his lightning bases.
Yeah. Yeah.
I probably at that point in the game, I'd rather have him doing no spells in the middle table. I mean, I've done that with the Covenant too and mm-hmm. seen how great it can be.
But mm-hmm. he still says no spells at all, right? Including
yes.
you.
Yes.
Including
you. Activate him last.
You're fine.
Yeah,
exactly.
No, of course.
Sure.
I'm just saying.
Yeah.
But if on your feet turn you want to clear stuff out, mm-hmm. like I said, up to 3
if
deaths.
You want to, yeah, yeah. Sure.
Mm-hmm. Is it D3 additional bounces?
It's D3 additional bounces.
Four,
you get the first plus the D3.
Deaths.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So it's, I mean, he's actually a really good model, and it's really a shame that other Hordes players can't take him. I say that as a Hordes player of a different faction.
Can't,
but he's really solid.
No. No.
He's
a minion merc. That's what I was
yeah.
thinking.
Yeah, he's Vinter's buddy.
You know, I really actually wanted to bring him in my Strakov list, but he just ended up being too slow. I'm a really mm-hmm. big fan of his.
He's someone I usually try to tap when I don't quite have those points for Ion and Holt, or I just want him for one specific reason.
Yeah. He's a great fit in Kador.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he is a great fit in Kador. And a slower, more methodical Kador, absolutely. Mm-hmm. I really like that.
I used to put some punishment, but when in Mark 1, I'd have him and Ion and Holt in the list.
Oh,
my
yeah.
God.
Me too.
People would be like, oh, my God.
Yeah, him, Ion, and Holt, and Krios could create like a doom bubble of spell casting. Like, oh, you can't cast spells here, and then, oh, you can't – because Yeah, well, now you can actually even use the Covenant. So you have the Covenant, Ironhold. Well, no, Ironhold doesn't do that anymore. But right. If they did, you could have all of those people together. And Krios.
Yeah, you know, you never see – well, at least – okay, I should take that back. I never see Sexnork with the Projector – or not Sexnork.
Ornn Midwin.
Yes, that guy. God
because of the Covenant.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because, yeah, the Covenant, which does
– does it better.
Sort of,
yeah,
but
he's got magic attacks.
He does have that spell, though, which is awesome. Mm-hmm.
He has magic attacks, which Protector has a surprisingly low attack magic attack. They have blessed weapons. But
the thing is, you can take the Covenant and Ionic Holt, which is 6 points, so you're going to get 2 attacks. You're going to be able to make an entire unit magic. You might be able to harm something. You got new knockdown or no spells. Or you can spend 2 points for a model that kind of does half those abilities and costs you a third less.
Maybe.
I mean,
an old man, though.
There are options, though. I mean, that's just that you've got options there. How many points do you have to spend on the FU ability?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, you're right.
And worst comes to worst, you can always bring in Midwinter if you have that 2 points floating around to where the book can still go no knockdown, no stationary, and he can step up beside the book and put out no spells.
Or if you're playing Ron, you can run them both up there and both do no spells and say, okay,
Ron,
you got to kill them both.
Mm-hmm.
Huh? He doesn't work.
No, playing against Ron.
Oh, okay.
Sorry, I should have clarified.
Captain Ron.
Ron can't take the book. No kidding.
No, I said Ron
stole
can't
it.
Take Midwinter.
He levitated it out of Severus's hands.
Oh, that'd be so awesome.
Burn it.
Yeah.
But yeah, I really like it.
I think it's a good list, and I think it's something that we don't see a lot of scoring around here, but I bet it's something Tim's going to try.
Oh, I plan on bringing the scoring out once the book comes out.
And how about the cards?
I'm gonna get back into Scorn by looking at the cards, but I don't know if I want to get I need the rule book in my hand before I can just jump right into playing Hordes again.
It'll help. It definitely feels better actually having those cards in hand.
I've
heard a lot of people talking about needing those cards for it to feel right.
And although like Josh mentioned, the changes in the quick start rules, if they're not mistakes, we really need to get a copy of how things are going to work. And I would love, and if he listens to this, like they would listen to us, but anyway.
Someone may listen to us.
Maybe.
Privateer Press, disclaimer, go ahead.
I would love you guys to just walk us through Fury or whatever so we can play with the cards you're going to give
us. That would be an awesome insider.
Yeah.
That would be an awesome Iron Agenda exclusive.
Especially if the book does get pushed back. Yeah, especially if the book does get pushed back until after the first date of Genesis.
Yeah.
We're looking at the 24th of July for our Genesis event.
Now
so
that's really close to Gen Con.
So just,
that's
exactly.
A week away.
I mean, let us know. Hey, how are we supposed to be playing this? Because I don't want to have to learn the rules twice.
Yeah.
Send me an email.
Because right now I glanced through the Frenzy section.
Contact
just because I had a Frenzy happen not too long ago in one of my regular games. And it's been very streamlined. It basically says if your model frenzies, it charges the nearest model.
Well, that's the quick start rule, though.
That's the quick start rule.
Which is probably not the way the actual rules would be.
Yeah, from what they described previously, it was much more complicated. But it would be very good to have something more fleshed out. On hand to look at for people.
Well, pretty sure they said this with the War Machine Quick Start rules. They are not official rules because, like, the spray template is not correct, for example.
Yeah, yeah, it's like 1 inch wide and whatever the distance.
Because you're not going to describe
and
a
I'll tell you what,
thing in that.
Playing that, when you and I learned, I mean, even though Denegra only had that as opposed to, that made the game so much easier to learn
before
we had stuff.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And so simplifying Frenzy rules is absolutely necessary, I think, for the Quick Start rules.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't think we're going to see that in the final rules, but still, there's that little twinge of doubt for all these other little things we're saying. So.
But the thing is, the Fury and Frenzy mechanics is so integral to Hordes, we have to know it to play it right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They'll let us know. I don't think they're going to leave people hanging.
I don't either.
You like that?
Yeah.
I have a question. Hexeris's feat used to not affect undead models. Is that correct?
No, it does affect undead
models.
No,
but it
used to not. Yeah,
exactly.
So that is a humongous bonus.
Oh, yes.
But now you can only move 3 inches, right?
So
you're not. It's not a full advance anymore.
Sure, but I mean, you can still.
So if your opponent can spread out to ignore that.
But then you're spreading out, especially in a steamroller environment.
Yes. You are then making spaces for all his heavies to trample over your infantry and start eating stuff.
Yeah, and you know, you still got reach units, which then that's 5 inches, so I mean, that's going to be huge.
Yeah, I mean, if they spread out like that, then I've got perfect ways of Molokarn sidestepping my way up the field.
Sidestep is so good. I heard somebody tell me that sidestep wasn't as good as overtake on the Praetorian swords. I mean, I'm like, you are out of your mind.
Yeah, you are out of your
mind. Yeah, especially with Praetorians, when they only have the 2 attacks. Yeah, it's sidestep is much better.
Oh, I think you can only sidestep on an initial attack.
It's the initial attack. So the Praetorians just have 2 base attacks.
So they auto point, sidestep 2, auto point something else.
Right.
Whereas,
oh, yeah, I mean, it's definitely
the threat range is huge.
And then sidestep back because they can do that.
Right.
You're saying that
on that second
they only
kill.
Have
on that second kill. Yep. Get out of the way for somebody else. So.
No. Right. No. I think.
No, overtake could be better.
For a beast.
If you have the ability to make additional attacks, but even then, sidestep.
Oh, right. Yeah.
And ignores free strikes.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Right. Because you ignore free strikes, that's why it's better.
And you can do it on trample.
And it's further. Isn't overtake only 1 inch?
Yeah, exactly.
Overtake's one.
And you can
because
do,
that's what the Angel has, I believe.
Yeah. Angel has overtake.
Okay.
And you can do that on a trample. You can do sidestep on a trample where I don't think you can on an overtake.
I don't think you can.
Yeah, I don't think you can.
Because you give up your initial attacks and make a special attack.
Correct. Mm-hmm. Sidestep says or special attack.
That's one other important thing to bring up. Power attacks are special attacks.
Yeah.
The Rhinodon can give you a boosted, boosted attack roll trample.
Correct.
If you get that juicy setup. That's nice. So.
That is
or
nasty.
Or the Gladiator who's already good at slamming. Here.
He already slams for free. Get the free boost from the Animus if you have him close enough.
And you can follow up.
Follows up has four attacks buying. So
pain given.
The only thing that I think this list is kind of missing for that kind of tactic, and not that it, I mean, because Hex can't do it, is a like an armor buff on the beast, so you can just trample the beast and throw at the army and say, now what?
I would say that a 30 box armor 19 beast is pretty
good. It's pretty good, but I mean, like, Xerxes has an armor buff.
Mm-hmm.
I'm just saying. And
what I'm saying is that, you know, if you're going to, the resources you're probably going to have to spend to kill something like that would be great, and that no matter what, he should be able to clean
but
up.
But I have a choir.
Sure, but I mean.
I know. Yeah, no, I agree. It is, it's still, yeah.
Well. We all aren't cheaters.
Do you want to date my avatar?
I do.
What element does your
avatar
bend?
It's a star.
Bend?
I don't know. I think that
it
avatar
bends
gets
your
around.
Face.
Which they just.
I think that avatar gets around an awful lot because I haven't seen him dateless
needs
in a very
to
long
be
time.
12 points.
Yeah.
His vassal girlfriend.
Yes.
Or 13.
I'm very surprised that the behemoth's 13 points and nothing else is. I understand that, you know, for Mark 1 it was obviously the most expensive, but it's not. Head over heels better than. I personally think the Death Jack and the Avatar are both better.
Oh, yeah.
It's very interesting. But, of course, the Behemoth's versatility is probably greater than both of theirs. Maybe not the Death Jack, but the Behemoth can punish you from every inch of the board. That's pretty good. Anyways.
He will break you.
He will break you. You'll win in a fight.
Nice.
I was talking to my wife about that yesterday. Where is that game?
Dude, it's actually in development. We worked on it last week.
Sweet.
I actually, my Basement Prodigies game company, which was my working title for my, I had Basement Prodigies recording studio when I was going to be an audio engineer. So I've ported that over. We actually have, 3 games in development now.
Well, I have Salty Studios.
I have a new card game in development as well as Who'd Win a Fight, of course, which is our main one. And then the space game actually made some strides in the past couple weeks.
Well,
so
space game.
Pretty excited for that.
Sure.
So check that out, guys. I actually bought some miniatures the other day for a space game.
Oh, you did buy those?
No, I didn't. I bought something else.
Oh, okay.
Star Wars miniatures.
Ooh. Oh, I have a ton of, if you want to borrow.
Starship Battles?
No, they're the Micro Machine ones. If you want to borrow some for whatever.
You use those in our role-playing games.
I did, yeah. So, I haven't said much because I'm just trying to figure out, I'm envisioning this thing just being shoved down my throat. But what could I take?
Just said that.
I did, because all the mature people in the world aren't laughing right now.
Did you say mature?
He did say mature.
God. I would say that Haley, or like somewhere you can slow this army down is going to be someone great. The first person that popped up in my mind is Haley, because you know you're going to be seeing some ranged. And while X-Harris doesn't really care too much about the deaths, like we said, we're not benefiting from the souls and being able to focus fire. You know, it's going to come at you in waves. If you can handle each wave from range, it's going to be.
If the heavies start dying real quick.
The question that Jason just answered that I actually never asked was, what would you say are the weaknesses of this list?
Oh.
Lack of range would probably be it. The only thing that I have is spells can get me where I need to go to some degree. Other than that, the Arquari, the only real threat out there.
And their range is like 8, right?
Exactly. Yep.
You got things that increase your speed through roundabout ways, but not flat out attack across board.
Exactly.
I think that's a good point. I think that a ranged heavy list, it doesn't matter if you trigger vengeance if your opponent's 20 inches from you.
Exactly.
I think that for scenario play, though, this is, I mean, it's pretty great. Mm-hmm. If you're deploying 12 inches up, you know, that even if you're going second, you're going to be able to get all those Praetorians where they need to be, you know, vengeancing possibly into the next round, and it should be good for you.
I think range is good. I think that, I don't know, I'm trying to think as the Legion would be interesting. The problem is you've got Death March to plus two mat to counter my high defense.
Mm-hmm.
So that's kind of gonna hurt. So I'm trying to think about like if the high defense low armor is gonna be a problem for you, but I can't see it being a problem at all. Seems like that's something you're gonna roll over.
Mm-hmm.
What about high armor? I mean, you've got a few big hitters in there.
No, you've got a lot of hitters. I mean, you've got the
high armor. I've got a couple different options. I've got Gladiator pumped up with the
Enrage.
Yes, with Enrage. The Praetorians, if there's enough of them surviving, get the auto point versus mm-hmm. Beasts and Jacks. So it takes forever to really do much.
That's a good finisher.
Exactly.
Yeah, I mean, you should be able to deal like 6 to 8 points mm-hmm. reliably.
Yeah, if you got Death March on the Praetorians and you get a beast down to 6 life, well, you send 6 at it and the rest kill something else.
3 at it.
Three.
Sorry,
three
yeah. Good lord.
Or 4, just in case.
So. Yeah.
Yeah, it said 4.
Because I'd miss you three would. Of those.
The good thing is, with the Razorworn's Animus, if I remember right, gives GERD, I want to say it costs 1, 2.
Yes.
I can throw that out on Midwinter, Hexeris, yep. and my Pain Givers to keep them alive so they can keep enraging instead of having to worry about big fat AoEs.
If you had to clump up your Praetorians, you could throw it on a couple of them, mm-hmm. and then they just go, oh, look, we run around each other.
Is it model or model unit?
Well, you put it on a model, and then they can all be in base-to-base.
Exactly. Base-to-base. Yep, that model and models in base-to-base with it. So I could always throw it on a couple of my beasts if need be, and
yeah,
then
I think
have
it's really...
things clump up around them.
So does the Worm itself have girded on it permanently?
I don't think so.
But you can use him in the Master Tormentor who has stealth.
Because
you can run them both together, or you mm-hmm. can like cast girded on yourself and charge,
mm-hmm.
and then run the Master Tormentor right in front of him in base to base.
Exactly.
Use stealth and can't be affected by blast.
I think
damage.
He doesn't have it because he's got dig in.
Yes,
that's true too.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
and he can always do it on himself too.
Dougie,
right.
Straight Dougie.
That's pretty good. Yo. I mean, the old school, I guess it's not necessarily, because people do it now too, like, liver rocket spam.
Oh, yeah.
And stuff like that. That's, you know, you're just gonna gird the key stuff and mm-hmm. wait up field.
Mm-hmm.
But, I mean, the great thing that I love about ability AoEs, like, well, it's the Vanquisher, which is just so ubiquitous at this point, is the fact it doesn't have to cause damage to set you on fire.
Mm-hmm.
So that's at least a little way around it. Yeah. Well, I think there's enough, like, force barrier. In the game, mm-hmm. that
how much force barrier do you think there is? There's like there's
two
something in
and girded, and mm-hmm. I don't know.
I don't think
abilities do it that aren't affected by it. Is what you're saying? Blast damage.
Yeah, I don't know.
There's a fair bit out there mm-hmm. more than you think.
I'm sure, it doesn't make it useless though.
Right, but I mean, if I you know, that's different. This is a debate for another time. Clearly,
I just like making all my trolls immune to fire.
Yeah, that's because you're a dick.
That's a nice.
If you're doing that. They're not getting plus
what?
Two armor.
Yeah, but,
that's true.
But, oh, they are, aren't they?
Oh, yes.
This,
right.
This is Mark Tucci. Can you make your trolls immune to crossfire?
Crossfire! I don't know.
You can by not getting it in the mail from Britain.
You can by, yeah, I didn't get
not
my
getting caught
mail.
In the crossfire.
It's true. Also, you can not give them leather jackets, and then they won't get caught in the
I was about to say, the game should come with a pair of leather jackets.
And, like, chains.
And sunglasses and stuff, yeah.
Chain wallet.
Yeah, if leather wrap, hand wrap gloves with, like, fingers.
Fingerless gloves.
We should recreate those commercials.
Oh my god, that'd be a really great site.
Salty Cinema. Awesome. So yeah, I like this list.
I'm on board. Know. I'm voting Jason Huber for mayor.
Of what?
Scornville.
Funky Town?
Scornville.
Funky Town!
Hey guys, it's Funky Town. You seen that South Park episode?
We're not going to TV.
I would say that... I mean, it seems like it can handle the infantry spam. It seems like it can handle the heavy hitters. Undead, living, even if they're bringing a lot of jacks and you're not being able to benefit from your feet very much, they're concentrating a lot of their energy, and you've got, you know, like we said, some heavy hitters. So, I think it's pretty good. The fact that, you know, Orin Midwinter has that POW 15 armor-piercing attack is really helpful, too, for high armor.
Mm-hmm.
It's a lance.
We should specify for people who don't know that doesn't exist.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Everyone's like flipping to their Orin Midwinter cards.
I still gotta buy this guy.
Yeah, even
he actually duplicates the opposing warcaster's feet.
Oh my god. That'd be so amazing. Oh.
Looking at your McDonald's cup, is that guy dunking in the trash can?
Hey Ronald.
That's Ronald?
Yeah, it's Ron.
God, he's so creepy.
Well, they moved to California because they can't use him in commercials anymore.
What?
California. Yeah.
Because it's fast food, getting kids to eat it and
stuff. Yeah, because kids want to eat it. Also, they're no longer giving out Happy Meal toys there either. What have they done to our world?
It's Arnold. It's all about the Governator.
I need to talk to Arnold.
Yeah.
Let's get him on the phone.
Yeah.
Get down, run to the chopper.
Let's teach him War Machine.
Do what?
Let's teach him War Machine.
I mean, he has done pretty much everything else in the world.
They've already made a model of him.
We can shave off McBain's mustache. And
oh, even better.
He was two-time Mr. Universe. Olympia.
Oh,
I thought it was Mr. Universe.
Universe.
He was Mr. Universe as well. Mr. Okay, Olympia is the highest level of bodybuilding.
Wait, that's above Universe?
Yes, Mr. Olympia is. It's like
when you think, I mean, is Universe also bodybuilding, or is that something else?
Well,
How is the Universe less than Olympia?
Because Olympia is God.
Exactly. It's home of God.
That's called outside rage.
Granted, it's only on top of a mountain and not in outer space.
Yeah, but outer space has nothing.
We're going to get Dave into some bodybuilding competitions, get him some roids, start working out.
And then he was one of the most famous actors in the world.
Hercules in New York. Hello.
One-third owner of Planet Hollywood. And now
defunct.
The governor of the largest state population-wise in the union.
This is very interesting, but does anybody that's listening to this care?
I don't think so.
Maybe our California listeners.
Do we have any California listeners?
What do you mean, do we have any California listeners?
I don't know.
Yeah, at least 30,000.
He's right.
Wow.
We're syndicated.
I've got numbers to prove it.
We're syndicated.
They may be Photoshopped, but I have numbers to prove it.
Jack about town all over California.
Yeah.
I keep meaning to do that with the Arch, but I never got around to it.
Do what?
Yeah.
The Jack Around Town article thing in No Quarter? Yep.
I want a beast around town.
I'm going to do it in front of AB Brewery. It'll be another good one to do it.
With
a bomber.
Borka. With Borka.
With a dire troll bomber.
With Borka.
Or Borka kicks.
Oh, yeah. Did you guys see the Ram art?
No.
Yes.
No,
that's the one I think.
It's a bomber.
Hopefully I'm not talking my ass. Instead of holding kegs, powder kegs, he has like mugs. That's the one I saw, at least.
So there's a redra- Was it like same art as?
No, it's new art.
It's new art.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Does it look like an Erdoza?
I don't know.
No,
I don't know what that is.
No, it looks. It's something somebody else did.
So that's gonna be the shirt art.
Yes, and they're gonna have growlers there too that you can buy with it on there.
Oh yeah,
I'll have to pick one of those.
Nice. I just need the.
And I'm gonna go out on a limb and say the shirt will be black.
Oh,
I'm gonna go out on a limb and agree with Josh.
God, I wish they had something other than black.
I'm not gonna.
It would
go
be
out
nice. I've gotten in.
Yeah, well,
I've gotten in the habit lately of whenever I go to conventions, I'll have my like one token black T-shirt, and then the rest of the weekend I've been wearing like yellow. Orange, nice bright colored
shirt. I'm not wearing a black shirt at Gen Con at all.
Anything that doesn't pull in all the energy of the sun and make you...
Yes.
Flanzer, you have to wear that shirt at Gen Con.
Okay.
Well, one day he's got to wear the Waldo costume.
It's just like the...
One day I have to be Waldo. One day I have to be the secret costume.
You could be just Clockwork Waldo for the IK competition.
Ooh.
Oh, that's
glasses.
Like a steampunk Waldo.
Exactly.
Steampunk
got, like,
Waldo.
A robot.
Have gear glasses.
I was about to say the same thing. Holy crap.
I just said that.
Yes, but I don't listen to you.
Oh. Did I blow your ears up, Dave, just then?
Oh, my God. No.
There you go.
Is this the Disney Waldo podcast?
Monopoly podcast?
Yeah.
It's peanut butter jelly time is what it is.
Peanut butter jelly time.
There you go. There you go. There you go. Let's just go.
All right. On that note.
We were talking about Monopoly earlier.
Jason, thanks for coming.
Yeah, thanks so much for coming. Driving down.
Not a problem, guys.
It's definitely good. It's definitely good to actually get down again in person.
Yeah,
absolutely.
We got to make it up for a horseshoe.
Go I think so.
No, I told
on Jason.
I don't know. I don't know if you know how much horseshoe
on top
cost.
Of Jason.
Wow.
No, I said, I really want to go to an event there because I'm. It seemed like there was a lot of people frequenting Springfield for a while there, and that was before I came to St. Louis. So I've never made it up. So I'm intrigued and want to return the favor as you guys have come to many of our events.
Oh yeah, there'll definitely be lots of opportunities. There's plenty of restaurants that we can sneak over to before events over Icon if you guys
grab
make
a
it
shoe.
Up. So.
So what kind of stores do you have up there? Do you have a couple?
Mecca. We've got two. Mecca is our oldest War Machine and Horde store. We've been doing it for over 3 years now over there. And lately, Capital City Games with Mark II has made the plunge as well. They were a primarily Games Workshop store that has gone ahead. They've got a kind of nascent community going. I think we had 10 people this league. Last week we had around 16.
Oh, good.
So they're moving pretty well. So hopefully it'll keep building up. We'll have to see how it goes.
Cool.
So.
Awesome.
I'm going to go.
Are you sure?
Time to play some League of Legends. League of Legends.
All right, I have to go home and sweep the floors, is what I was told.
I'm going to eat lunch.
I'm going to hit the game store and buy some Warhammer Fantasy,
I'm going to hit the game store, too. Are you going to buy what?
Some Warhammer Fantasy.
What are you going to buy?
Some Vampire Count stuff.
Ridiculous.
Whatever.
Just so you know, they've been nerfed horribly.
I thought there were Tomb Kings now, or is that
there's
different?
Tomb Kings, which are like your mummies, your Egyptian right. things,
bye,
and
everybody.
Vampire Counts, which are your
but they
regular.
Used to be one army, right?
Yes. Okay. That was like five editions ago, though.
Oh, okay.
That was like 30
like
years
50
ago.
Years ago.
Yeah.
Okay. See you, everybody.
See ya.
Bye. See
ya. Bye.
To contact Iron Agenda by email, send your message to contact@ironagenda.com. To send a voicemail, dial 206-333-0983. Iron Agenda is copyright 2010 by its hosts and released under the Creative Commons Attribution No Derivative Works 3.0 United States license. Opening and closing music provided by Joshua Salter. Iron Agenda is affiliated with Spooky Outhouse Productions. For more podcasts, visit www.spookyouthouse.com.